Welcome to The Glider Show, the audio podcast about learning how to fly gliders. I'm your host, Sam Deeks, and I'm learning to fly in the county of Devon in the southwest of the UK. You're invited to follow me on my journey to becoming a confident, coordinated solo pilot. It's been about 8 weeks since I last flew in training mode, and this is because I made the decision to change clubs. It was a difficult choice to make, and I have to admit I took a bit of flack for talking about the reasons why on this podcast, but I thought at the time, and I still think, that it's important to discuss these kinds of things if gliding is to become more attractive and welcoming to newcomers to the sport. Well, the criticism upset me a bit, and it took me a good few days to get it into perspective. But it was also interesting to notice how easily I let one angry, rot-in-hell comment outweigh the 10 "your podcast has inspired me to take up gliding, thank you for making the effort" emails that I've received so far. And there's a lesson in there. So in this week's show, I join Devon and Somerset Gliding Club at North Hill in East Devon and get my first taste of aerotowing. My first flight in the well-respected ASK-21 training glider, and I get a whiff of competition gliding at the curiously named Competition Enterprise. I also find myself in my first busy thermal with 5 or 6 other gliders. And also this week, prompted by a question from a listener and a comment from my instructor at the airfield, I think it's time to make sense of keeping my weight under control to avoid the embarrassing risk of being grounded. But first, a look at this week's gliding news from Google. British Columbia Cessna glider crash. 4 people are dead after a plane and a glider collided mid-air over the Nairn Falls Provincial Campground near Pemberton, according to the Joint Rescue Coordination Centre. JRCC spokesman 2nd Lieutenant Erin Edwards confirmed there were no survivors when the Cessna 150 and a 2-seated glider crashed at around 12:20 p.m. on Saturday. Whistler RCMP spokesman Sergeant Robert Napton said no one on the ground was hurt despite debris from the aircraft falling on a provincial park that was full of campers during one of the busiest long weekends of the summer. Witness Casey Whitworth of South Surrey said he was in Pemberton Saturday to attend a friend's hockey match. Ahead of the game, he went for a hike at the campground, located about 50 kilometres north of Whistler, and heard a loud bang. He said he looked up and saw a plane explode, and then, to his horror, saw a person fall from the sky. Pieces of the plane were falling near where Whitworth had parked his car in the campground parking lot. "We could hear the wing come through the bushes, and you could hear it make a crackling sound as it landed," he said. Hang glider and paraglider crash on YouTube. The dramatic moment a hang glider and paraglider collided mid-air in the Gold Coast hinterland has been captured on film. Video shows the two crashing into each other before becoming tangled and plummeting into thick forest below. A fellow hang glider filmed the crash with a camera attached to his helmet. Firefighters took about 2 hours to free the male hang glider and female paraglider after they landed in separate trees in forest on the side of a steep cliff. Fire officer Mark Gribble described the rescue attempt as very tricky, adding the pair did not suffer any injuries. Now, I've watched that video, and the reason the two survived the crash was because the paraglider released an emergency parachute on the way down, which helped to slow down the fall of both of them. Without that, I don't think they would have survived. Now, it doesn't involve gliders, obviously, that news item, but I included it as a reminder of just how easily 2 aircraft in a huge sky can crash into each other, and you'll see that if you watch the film. I don't know whether these pilots failed to do proper lookouts or whether they were aware of each other, but were somehow unable to take evasive action. Luckily, thanks to the hang glider pilot's emergency chute, they both survived to learn from this near tragedy. Navasota glider crash. Authorities Sunday were investigating a glider crash that left the pilot injured. The glider crashed at around 6:30 p.m. Saturday near Navasota Municipal Airport in Grimes County, about 70 miles northwest of Houston, authorities said. The Texas Department of Public Safety said the pilot was trying to land at the airport when something went wrong. The glider ended up in a nearby field. Pilot broke his arm and leg and suffered internal injuries. Whatever the something was that went wrong, I'm afraid I wasn't able to discover from those news reports, so we'll just have to wonder. Jacumba, San Diego County glider crash. The glider crash that killed 2 people on Saturday in eastern San Diego County occurred just seconds after takeoff, according to the county medical examiner. The unpowered Perkoz SZD-54 airplane was being towed aloft at the Jacumba airport when the tow wire was released at about 100 feet. The glider lost control and nosedived into the ground. Killed were Richard Noble, 63, and Martin Rothwell, 54, both of San Diego, the medical examiner said. Noble was on his first glider lesson with his flight instructor, Rothwell. Missing Swiss glider pilot found in French Alps. Forest wardens in the southern French Alps on Tuesday recovered the lifeless body of a Swiss glider pilot after he went missing for 7 days. The 56-year-old man, identified by Swiss media as Stefan Bergin, the CEO of a Zurich company, was found in the morning in the Haute-Provence Alps, south of Grenoble. Bergin had taken off on June 25th from an aerodrome in Gap-Tallard aboard his glider, a Flugzeugbau DG-800 model equipped with a motor. It is not clear what happened. The pilot, who had more than 400 hours of flying experience, was not the most experienced, but was also not a novice, the news agency said. A plan to search for Bergin was initiated a day after he went missing, involving 150 military and search and rescue specialists, aided by several helicopters from police and the French army. 17-year-old air cadet awarded G1 glider wings. An air cadet will be able to pass on his skills to his peers after being awarded his G1 glider wings. Corporal James Craggs of 234 City of Durham Squadron Air Cadets completed an intensive training program demonstrating he could fly the Vigilant glider to a high standard and deal with emergencies such as engine failure. As a result, the 17-year-old will be able to train other air cadets when he turns 18. Now, I had to take to Wikipedia to find out what a G1 glider wings were, as I'd not heard of this qualification before. It stands for Pilot Grade 1 and is a qualification that's specific to RAF volunteer gliding squadrons aimed at training cadets from the ATC, or Air Training Corps. Yes, so it's a Sunday morning. It's not very early. In fact, it's about 9:30. And the reason I'm going, setting out so late, or relatively late, is because I've got a flight booked for 2:00 this afternoon, so I'm not in a rush to get there, because at this new club where I'm going, the whole of the club will be busy at the moment getting ready for a competition day, something called Competition Enterprise. And the weather forecast has said that today is supposed to be a really nice summer's day, or relatively summery day, but it's not looking like that at the moment. Right now it's the ground is wet, everything's dripping, and there's a kind of low drifting mist at the moment. So I'm looking forward to seeing the club in full operation mode, and I'm also looking forward to getting an aero tow up to 2,000 feet and some hands-on stick time, just to get me back into the feel of it, really, because it's been, realistically, it's been about two months since I've really been flying in earnest, and that's a long time.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this second day of Fortis Competition Enterprise 2013. Yesterday was a contest day, and there were several very remarkable flights. I think everybody flew who wanted to fly. I think everybody, as far as I know, enjoyed themselves. It's perhaps worth reflecting that a conventional competition yesterday probably wouldn't have flown at all. So well done, everybody. And a special thanks to everybody who made it possible, all the competitors primarily. Thank you very much for all flying so well and having so well on the ground. Special thanks to the tow pilot who launched us all so efficiently, and thanks indeed to all the administration as well, who coped with being beautiful. So I think a great success.
So it's 1:05 on Sunday, and the air is beginning to clear. We've got some blue sky above. There's people rigging their gliders in expectation of getting away on the task that I saw brief this morning. And it was interesting being in the hangar listening to the competition briefing. For someone like me who doesn't see themselves as competitive, It's quite a nice introduction to both the atmosphere and the detail of what they were planning to do. So I got to hear them setting the task for the day. There were about, I don't know, 100 or so people in that hangar. And that's now translated, as the weather's improved, out to a lot of gliders being rigged ready. I got my name on the flying list for later on. And if they manage to launch them all on the competition tasks, then with a bit of luck, I might get a chance of an aero tow later on. But in the meantime, I'm just going to enjoy the warm air as the clouds get blown away. We start to get some warmth coming off the ground. And with a bit of luck, by the time I get up there later on, if I'm able to, then the conditions will be really nice. Here's something I haven't seen before, and that's the launching of a motor glider. And we're coming up to 2:55 in the afternoon, and as far as I'm concerned, it's a beautiful, warm, sunny day. But as far as the competition pilots are concerned, the cloud base is still too low. And we're mid-afternoon, and everyone's sitting on the grid, still not deciding to go. So it's a bit of a conundrum for the club, because what it means is there's no competition flying, because apparently they don't want to end up with the whole queue of gliders all circling around under 1,500 feet, too dangerous. So they don't want to fly those, they're waiting for better conditions. Not really sure what the weather's going to do, if it's going to improve enough for the competition gliders to want to get off, but it's a great sense of anticipation here.
270.14, thanks for that. Forecast is for it to increase.
Our cloud base is about 1,600 QFE.
Well, here we go on my first aero tow.
Would you like me to keep my rabbiting to a minimum?
No, please do. It's instructional more than anything. So the more you tell me that's useful, the...
Okay, it's a bit like a winch launch, but the point at which you use your controls independently of each other lasts for a bit longer. So we use the ailerons to maintain our wings level, okay, with whatever movement is required to get a response, okay. The elevator, which is the forward back movement of the stick, obviously is used to try and balance the glider on its main wheel, so that the glider is ready to take off as and when we reach a suitable speed. Romeo Hotel, take up, sir. And then we use the rudders to try and steer the glider behind the tug aircraft. Okay, if a wing should touch the ground, okay, and doesn't immediately respond to full opposite aileron, then we will release immediately. So we start the launch with our right hand on the stick, and our left hand should be around the yellow release knob.
Okay, mine won't on this flight, but yours, yours will.
Yeah, I understand that. Romeo Hotel, take up slack. Okay, so good look out. Before we start, we can see some gliders up there to our left and ahead who are obviously thirming at the moment.
Five of them.
And the tug is now just gently pulling the slack out of the tow rope. You'll find it's a little bit lumpy and bumpy while we're still on the ground, obviously. And the aim is obviously lift the glider gently into the air and then maintain a position sort of 5-10 feet above the ground behind the tug. Okay, here we go. Oh, that's me. All out, all out. Okay, he's back on the stick to try and balance the glider on the main wheel, steer the glider with the rudders, and use the ailerons to maintain the wing level.
gently lift the glider into the air. And now we're flying the glider with coordinated controls, trying to keep the glider between 5 and 10 feet above the ground. Okay, at this point we are now clear of the airfield, but we need to land somewhere off of the airfield. Come up to the release site, which will be 2,000 feet, and I explained in the brief before the flight, we will pull together a release knot, confirm the release has taken place by seeing the zigzagging cable, and then just pitch and roll to the left. So here we go, pitch to the left, release, change the two cables on, pitch back, and then roll to the left. Okay, we can now just bring the glider speed gently back to our normal gliding speed in this aircraft, which is around the 45 knot mark. Okay, how do you find that?
It's lovely.
Nice, isn't it? Okay, so I'm just going to line the glider up gently into the wind. We've got a glider down there below this little cloud, obviously using some of that. We'll just trim the glider out to fly a little bit more slowly now. We'll pass it over to you to have a little go. Okay, so there we go, gliders in level flight, you have control.
I have control.
Okay, so initially all we need to do is just maintain level control. Once you feel happy with the sort of feel of the controls, you need to follow on to what we were doing before, which is obviously the
lift.
I wasn't expecting that up here at the moment, has to be said. It's also sick to go with it. Okay, so when you're happy, would you like to try and turn to the right?
Okay.
Okay, so what's the normal process you would thought that you have a couple to turn?
Look out.
Okay. So you need to look to the left first of all, because we might turn round and go in that direction. Now we look round to the right, as far behind us as we can, particularly above and behind us in this right wing here. Once you're happy that it's clear, loud look ahead.
Yeah.
Roll the glider with aileron and rudder together. Lovely. Desired angle of bank, just centralise the aileron, reduce the amount of rudder, and then if you can find the aperture change. We've gone up about 300 feet. What I'll do is I'll climb as much as we can under this, Sam, then
hand
it back to you to have another play.
And a 13 joining in as well.
Where's that?
It's now 12 o'clock
is,
on the nose.
That's I think that's Pete Smith giving Mr. Westlake a trial lesson. Right, well that's 400 or 500 feet. Do you want to continue having a little turn in this and practicing?
I think I'll okay, I'll give it a go.
Go on, have a go. What you've got to do is just fly it coordinated, okay, when you get a little burst, the tendency in the thermal is the thermal is trying to kick you out, so it's a bit like a game really. See the wing getting pushed up, push that wing back down again, right?
Below speed here. Yeah. Okay.
Don't mind. Just keep that thermal from your own, don't try to put the bank in.
Okay.
I will just control the rate of descent for you. Then as we come down forward to ground, just start to let you come backwards on the stick, back a little bit more. Hold it there, hold it back. Hold the brake, now just keep things level, steer the glider where you want to go. Little bit of right and a little bit of left, that's it.
Okay.
Until the glider comes to a halt.
Right.
Well done. Very nice.
Thank you for your help.
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah.
That was good. Well, I'm glad you got to fly the circuit and, I mean, you flew the landing really, to be quite honest. I just gave you a couple of nudges at key positions there just to, but I did the brakes, you did the stick. Well done. Splendid. I'm glad you flew it down to the ground.
That was good.
Excellent. Excellent.
It felt comfortable.
Yeah.
So to build on that, then perhaps another, try and save my pennies and have another aerotow.
I think that would be a good way to go. It's 28 quid's worth of cost plus your
whatever it is, a minute, 40p a minute, whatever it is. But as I say, you know, you'd only have to have three winch launches, and not get a lot out of it, and you've made up for it, haven't you? Because it is stick time. Mm. You're not far away. You've got the basic understanding. It's just a matter of getting everything to connect together properly. Generally speaking, that in a 21, very good training aircraft. It does have its weaknesses, but it's a very good training aircraft. And you will start to feel there is a connection between what you're doing. But when you're thermaling, there's always these forces that you might have moved the stick to the right, and the right wing's going up. Mm. But it could be because you've just entered an area of thermal area, and that's just going to push the wing up. So, but you'll start to identify when that's happening, and you will get the connection.
For me, I think I'm someone who needs time.
Yep.
Even if I have to pay extra to get up there, I need time to go, what's this? Hang on.
Well, my recommendation when people start gliding is, if you can afford to do the first sort of three or four launches from an aerotow, forget the fact that you have the experience of a winch launch. Mm. What you want is stick time. Mm. Okay, quality stick time, where you're not thinking, I've got to go down there. Mm. I've got to go down there. So that means you can practice rolling in, rolling out, rolling in, rolling out, rolling in, rolling out, all the time, until you can comfortably roll that glider, maintain an attitude and coordination throughout the turn. On that very happy note, I'm going.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sam.
Making sense of the glider diet. Now, recently I got an email from Mike who said, "Hi Sam, I recently stumbled upon your podcast and I've been listening to your back catalogue of episodes in chronological order for the past couple of weeks. Keep up the great work, sir. I'm really enjoying listening to your journey. I'm about to embark in the next couple of weeks, I hope, on my own glider pilot's license quest myself. One of many things that I'm curious about is your reference to your gliding diet. I'm tipping the scales at a bit north of 200 pounds, okay, maybe even north of 220, and would really, really like to trim about 15 or 20 pounds off. Have you ever actually listed your techniques, or are your references to your glider diet in the audio more of a parody of an actual weight loss regime? It's a bit of a conundrum. Gliding is obviously an activity that appeals to a lot of middle-aged men and women and older. And as a result, a relatively high proportion of those people will be, a bit heavier than they were when they were in their 20s. And a few months ago, I overheard an old chap at the launch point being asked by another club member why he wasn't flying. "I can't until I've lost 10 pounds," he said, looking pretty glum. And it was at that point I realized that I was approaching somewhere close to the upper weight limit myself. And every time I entered the launch hut and saw the scales on the floor, I imagined in my mind an excruciating, embarrassing moment in the future where one day I might be asked to step on the scales and only to be told, "Sorry, you're too fat to fly." At that point, I started to think about what I could do. And I've personally never been really in control of my weight. And it's not been a major problem, but I've never been one of those people who could put their mind to losing weight and do it. My weight had plateaued at about 230 pounds, I think, at its highest, and had been that way for a few years. So I'm probably about 2 stone overweight, like a lot of people that I know. So I took a leaf out of a client's book who I follow on Twitter. And this is a chap who runs every day and has a phone app or something that posts his times and his body weight to Twitter, kind of keeping check on a regular basis. But it occurred to me that I've always got my iPhone with me, and surely there must be an app that can help me keep a check on my calorie intake. So I did some research and I found a couple of free calorie counting apps, and there are loads out there. These were okay, but they weren't ideal. And with a bit more research, I settled on a little application called MyNetDiary. Despite its name, this app seems to be very, very effective at monitoring my daily calorie intake. It allows you to set a weight target and a target date, and then it gives you a recommended calorie intake to reach that target weight in a safe, controlled way. So if you put an unrealistic weight or an unrealistic date to reach a weight that's unhealthy, it stretches that out and doesn't permit you to do it in a way that loses more than a pound a week. This app requires you to have obviously a mobile phone or an iPhone or something like that, but it also requires you to have the willpower to use it and the willpower to go without one or two of the things you might otherwise have eaten on any particular day. So I used this for about 3 months, and to my absolute amazement, I lost just under a stone. I guess the first thing I realized was it can be done. And that, for me, and maybe for a lot of you folks out there who haven't really been successful in controlling your weight, imagine the thought of finding out after a few weeks that actually something you were doing was making a difference. And on top of that, it wasn't miserable or complicated. And that's quite an amazing thing. For the first time you weigh in and suddenly realize, with almost a minimum of effort, you've managed to take a little bit of control. And what I realized was, to do it, I needed three things. One, I needed a reason to want to take some control over my weight. And to be able to continue gliding, now I'd started, was a pretty good one. Secondly, I needed something to bring my calorie intake into my consciousness on a daily basis and throughout the day. And the app is perfect to do this. And finally, I needed some commitment and willpower, but not huge amounts, just enough to use the app every day and just enough to go without those last couple of hobnobs or whatever it is that you tend to have on top of your required amount of calories every day. I also know that it works for the simple reason that when I stopped looking at the app and filling in my calories, I stopped losing weight and even put a little bit back on. And that's where I am at the moment. So no big complicated secret, no convoluted dieting, and no real suffering. Just keeping your calorie consumption in your field of awareness. Now, knowing that it works, I'm going to start using it again. My weight is currently 225, and I'd like to lose 30 pounds of that. Let's see how it goes, and I'll report in on further episodes of The Glider Show. Comms. So we had quite a few new Twitter followers. These include Glider for Sale, Fliegen NL, Andy Delaney, BF Gliding Club, Sean Paramore, Brian Smith, Voler à Montrecher, York Soaring Association, Uni of Lincoln Gliding, Liz Savary, Plain Fun. Thanks for following, and I look forward to talking to you on Twitter sometime. Emails. Hello, my name is Brian Judd, and I am a private pilot, single engine here in beautiful Lexington, Kentucky. I recently found out that my Civil Air Patrol wing has glider operations in the surrounding town. Having my interest piqued, I decided to find out if there were any glider podcasts out there, and I found you. I just listened to all 14 episodes back to back, and now I'm wanting to get up in a glider even more. Thank you for this podcast, and it really brings you into the glider and gives you a sense of all the ground operations involved. Keep up the good work. Brian, thanks for that email and your dedication in listening to all the episodes of the show back to back. And thank you very much also for boosting my spirits during a difficult week. And that's all we have time for in this episode of The Glider Show, recorded for you sitting in a car in the beautiful Devon countryside in the middle of summer, with dappled sunlight all around and trees waving their beautiful green leaves overhead. I'm back on track on my journey to going solo and looking forward to taking you with me into the skies and to meet some of the people gliding here in the southwest of England. If you'd like to take part in The Glider Show, then there are plenty of ways to get involved. Why not record some MP3 audio of you flying around your club, a response to something I featured on the show, or just a hello from your part of the world? You can email me your MP3 files, or just an email, ukglider@hotmail.com, or you can tweet me at ukglider. Check out the Take Part page on the ukglider.com website for more ways to take part in the show. Music for the show was provided by slide guitarist Finn, and other incidental sounds provided by some of the 100-plus people who turned up at North Hill Airfield to take part in Competition Enterprise this last weekend. It was a great way to start my time at a new club, and I'm looking forward to getting to know more about Devon and Somerset Gliding Club and its members in coming shows. Until next time, enjoy the heat wave and fly safe.